Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go! Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up one or two hours show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4th of 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Welcome, 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 good folks. We hope you had a Merry Christmas. Hope you're having a happy Kwanzaa or whatever you may celebrate. You are live in the war room for our last episode of 2010. And what better way to go out than to recap the sports year that was? I'm Dev, and I'm here with my championship team, Jimmy, Akil, B. Austin, and PJ. Tonight, we're going to give you 2 hours of our take on the biggest stories of 2010. So sit back, relax, and get ready to go down short-term memory lane with us. And as usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight, so when we open up the phone lines, call in and holler at us. That number again, 323-410-0012. But of course, right now, it's time to give our last birthday shout-out of the year.
My birthday! Yay!
Yo! Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Man,
yes, sir.
I'm hyped. Yo, I'm out of breath. I was hyped before the show.
Yo, I'm listening to that Ghostface album, so I'm ready to punch somebody, yo. But, yo, let's get into
yo.
These birthdays, yo. yo, shout out to Ghostface. It ain't his birthday, but that
shout
album.
Shout out
anyway.
To Dennis Coles. Shout out
yo,
to
bro. Yo, but let's get into the birthdays, though. The first birthday I want to talk about is y'all homie, Eldrick Tonk, a.k.a. Tiger Woods. Eldrick Tonk, Tiger Woods. Yo, that's his name. What's wrong with the boy? One. But anyway, let's go around the table. PJ, when I say Tiger Woods, what comes to mind? I know things have changed this past year, but what comes to mind now when you hear Tiger Woods?
Well, in the grand scheme of things, he's the best golfer I've ever seen with my two eyes. And, you know, in terms of what happened recently, a lot of drama. I will touch on it a little later on in the show, but just a lot of drama that I don't know was all, you know, was all worth it. You know what I mean? So that's all
I got. Dr. Bay, Dr. Bayon, what you think about when you hear Tiger Woods at this point?
Man, I think, obviously he has the potential. He has the potential to be the greatest golfer ever once he breaks all the records. But obviously, this time last year, I mean, he was going through it, man. A lot of turmoil, and then he fell off ever since.
Yeah, yeah. B. Austin, what do you think about now when you hear the word Tiger Woods? I know things have changed. What do you think about now?
I'm trying to debate whether I should be funny or whether I should just be objective.
Keep it funky, though. You ain't got to be funny. What really comes to mind now? I know.
Yo,
you know
honestly,
what I mean?
He is the greatest. He's the greatest golfer of all time, and it's really sad to see the demise of his career because I don't think he's coming back.
You really don't think he's coming back at all, huh?
I mean, he's never going to attain or achieve the levels that he enjoyed in years past. Mm-mm.
So you think without all the copulation, his game is going to go downhill?
Yo, without getting that that Becky and that trim, he done.
Yeah. Dev, last but not least, Dev, what you think about when you think of Tiger Woods?
Man, when I think of Tiger now, I think of strippers. Porn and just overall smut. That's all.
Yo, ain't that crazy? Yo, it's crazy how, you know, thinking about this past year, how just his name brings up something different now. Like before, you thought about greatness and how dominant he was. Now you think about Uchiwali every time you hear his name. Yo, anyway.
Cheeky butt.
Yo, next birthday is, by the way, Tiger turned 35. Next birthday is Leila Ali. Let's talk about Leila Ali. Go around again. Dev, you start us off. What do you think about Leila Ali?
I think about the only female boxer that could never mind. She's nice, man. She used to knock chicks out. That's all I think about.
No, she did. Yeah, she did. Christy Martin knocked chicks out, too, but I understand what you're saying, though. B. Austin, what you got on Leila?
Tonk it.
Nope. Yo, enough said. Dr. Bayon, what you got on Leila Ali?
Yo, she was like one of the few female boxers that was actually really attractive.
Word up.
Yeah, you got a great one. That one. PJ, what you got on Leila?
Yeah, what everybody else said, very, very attractive female boxer, very good female boxer. Her only knock as a boxer was that she didn't fight some of the tougher competition. So she had like a 24-0 record, like 21 knockouts.
Wow.
So she didn't fight competition, but she didn't want to mess the pretty face up, so I don't knock her for that.
Yo, what kind of weight classes did they have in women boxing? Because I don't remember, like, did they have like different weight classes?
I think they do. Yeah, I don't think they have as many as men because I don't even think they have that many female boxers.
Many boxers,
sport,
yeah.
But
you know what? Another thing about it is she's the only marketable female boxer that there is. I mean, for one, because
yeah,
of her looks like you guys talked about, but also the name.
Jimmy, I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it real with you, brother. She's the only female boxer I know of. I don't even know who she fights.
Yo. I remember
Christy
Martin only because Christy Martin used to catch, yo. She used to knock off blocks, yo. So I do remember her.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's about it. Anyway, let's move on. The next, and by the way, Leila turned 33. The next birthday is Kerry Michael Collins, a.k.a. Kerry Collins. So, score round of them again, Dr. Bayon. She got on Kerry Collins.
Man, Kerry Collins. I mean, he was a beast for Carolina, like the first real quarterback for Carolina, got them into the playoffs. Put my Cowboys out the playoffs one year and, you know, led the Giants pretty far to a Super Bowl, although they didn't win. And, you know, and he's still playing. I mean, he's a solid quarterback that has jeopardy. Never an elite quarterback, but solid and had jeopardy.
Yeah, he definitely got that jeopardy. B. Austin, what you got on Kerry Collins?
I'm going to go with a little double entendre here. I'm going to say underrated racist. Now, is he underrated as a player or underrated as a racist? You know, you take your pick. And I disagree with Dr. Bayon because I think the boy is elite in talent because he had like 3,000-4,000-yard passing seasons.
You think he's an elite quarterback?
I think that Kerry Collins is elite talent-wise. I think that he fell off due to some personal issues at certain points in his career. But to be able to come back and make a Pro Bowl vote in on the coaches, not the fans, but on the coaches and be all pro at this age, which was only 2 years ago after Vince Young went down. I think the boys always had elite talent.
Got you. Dad, what you got on Kerry Collins?
He's serviceable. I wouldn't call him elite. You know, had a couple good seasons, but that's about it. He corny.
Yeah, yo, PJ, you got anything else you want to say about Kerry Collins?
Just two big losses to the Ravens. Once, like Kill said, in Super Bowl 35, and then when he was a Titan, when they had that good season, they were 13-3, got the bye, but then got knocked out of the playoffs by the Ravens. And he's an alcoholic on the low. That's about it.
Yeah, he definitely is. And, you know, I think the same thing Dev thinks. When I hear his name, I just think serviceable backup. Because, you know, some backups are just, like, horrible backups and some are serviceable. He's in the serviceable class, and he turns 38. Next birthday is Kenyon Lee Martin, a.k.a. Kenyon Martin.
My birthday, yay!
He turns 33. Let's go around him again. PJ, start us off. What you got on Kenyon Martin?
When I think of Kenyon, I think of defense, energy, hops, and a nervous tick.
Dr. Bayon, what you got on Kenyon Martin?
Yo, that dude is made of, like, I don't know what type of ligaments or bone structure he has, because he'll break his leg, he'll tear his ACL, he'll get microfracture surgery, then he'll still go out there with no braces, jumping like crazy, blocking shots and getting rebounds. I don't understand it.
Well, prime safety is made of sterner stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Dylan, what you got to say about the young man?
Kerry, what's his name again? Kenyon Martin? Yo, dude has some of the weakest tattoos I've ever seen in my life.
Yo, he got a tattoo of that chick's lips on his neck or something, yo, when he's messing with the chick Trina.
Yeah, I think, that's supposed to be Trina. And then he got one, I saw him in the Slam magazine once. He got a joint written on him talking about badass yellow boy.
Yo, quick question though.
That's an oxymoron.
Yo, quick question.
He's from Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. Yo, quick question. Is his yawn worse than Kobe's? Because Kobe has a horrible tattoo.
Yo, Kobe's yawn look like a kid drew that yawn. I don't even know what that's supposed to be, man.
Yo, I don't know what Kobe... Yo, Kobe got his tattoo done like it fits in Tyuga. Yo, his yawn is horrible. Yo, anyway...
He was preparing for where he was going to go.
B. Austin, what you got on Kenyon Martin?
He's turned his career into a decent career. He, for his being as high as he was in the draft, you know, I was quick to call him a bust after about five seasons, but he's not that. I mean, he's nice. I think he's soft. I think he's front.
He
acts
like Tim Tyler.
Yeah, he's overpaid. Yo, he has a max contract. Definitely overpaid.
He's a tough yellow boy. All right, he turns 33. Let's go to this other birthday, Brad's nemesis. LeBron Ramon James turns 26.
Yay!
And Brad, you start us off. When you hear LeBron, we gave him that name. That's a nickname the world has given him, Ramon James. When you hear LeBron James, what do you think of at this point?
Bitch ass money.
couple bleeps, huh? Dev, what you got on LeBron?
Yo. The fact that he's only 26 is scary for the rest of the league. But did y'all see, I posted on our Facebook page today, did you see the PowerPoint presentation that they
sent him trying to get up money for his birthday?
To get sponsors for his birthday party and a series of dinners in every city that he goes to from now until April? Yo,
yeah, I saw that trash.
Yo, either he's the dumbest dude in the world or he's taken to this villain role, because everything he's done since the decision has been worse for his reputation. If y'all haven't
seen it, I'm gonna tell you what it is.
And read this PowerPoint presentation.
He is now separated from his step pop. His step pop ain't there to reel him in no more. Delonte kept a mile out of that nonsense. You know what I mean? Now they separated. Delonte got his own issues. You know what I mean? He wanna make videos. They meet each other, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Kill. When you hear LeBron James, what do you think of at this point?
I think very talented basketball player. Who could be a lot better if he worked on his game?
Get your bitch ass in the post.
Yeah.
All right.
PJ, when you hear LeBron James, what do you think of at this point?
Man, it's so much to say about him, but to be quick about it, man, a great player, which is something that we've seen before. We've seen great players that are very dominant in this league. But I think when I think of him, I just think of the decision right now, because I've never seen anything like that, like the decision in terms of a free agent picking a team. So right now, when I think of LeBron Ramon, I just think of the decision and how egregious that was.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because, like, a couple of these people we mentioned, their whole perception of them has changed over the last year. Because when I think of LeBron James now, I just think of a guy who has, like, he possibly could be the best player in the history of the game with his skill set. But he's a mental midget, so, you know what I mean? Couple more birthdays I want to go. First, I want to say a shout-out, happy birthday to our loyal listener and friend, Dawn Pitts Graham. Shout-out to Dawn.
DPG! Happy birthday.
Also, I want to send a shout-out to Monica, our loyal listener, my future baby mother and my old lady. Her birthday was Monday, so I'm going to send a shout-out to her. Happy birthday, Monica.
I got one.
And I know, Dev, you said you had something you want to say too, right?
Yeah, my nephew, Meshon Medlock, Sean Medlock Jr. is his real name. He turned 14 today, so I want to say happy birthday to the young boy. Don't do nothing that I wouldn't do at 14. That doesn't really leave a lot, but be good.
All right. All right, we running behind now. Let's move on, though. Those were the birthdays. So happy birthday to everybody. And, Dev, tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind.
All right, everybody. I'm going to let y'all know what happened this week. While y'all were on the grind. Well, we all saw it. We get to talk about it. Two of us picked it. Three of us didn't. The Heat smacked the Lakers on Christmas Day. Jimmy, what did you think about that, since that's your squad?
In the words of my homie PJ, I thought it was egregious, because the Lakers, just watching them play all season, it's like they have this mentality that they can turn it on when they want to. But I think it's even deeper than that. I think the team as a whole is tired, because they've been to three straight finals. They won two, but they've been to three straight finals, which means they played late in the season for the last couple of years, and they just look tired.
Have they proven that they can't just flip the switch, though? They haven't proven that they can't.
Well, here's the thing when you think about it. When you think about it, the Lakers haven't won that many series when they didn't have the home court. And the only reason that they won the last two finals is because Ramon, who had the number one overall seed, got knocked out of the playoffs, which left them with the home court advantage in the finals. But
right.
the Lakers, you know, in the last 3 years, haven't won that many series when they didn't have the home court. So the thing is, even if you want to switch it on, you're putting yourself in a huge hole right now.
Right. Phil, what did you think about that game? You picked Heat to win along with me. What did you think?
Yeah, I think the Heat were really, you know, inspired to prove to everybody, like, look, you know, so what, we started out like 10-9, you know, we are a great team. And I think the Lakers, coming off the Bucks loss, which people don't realize, they lost to the Bucks by like 20. The Lakers have just been playing bad basketball. Then they go out and lose to the Spurs by 15. So, you know, it's pretty much how I expected it to go.
That Christmas game was pretty much how I expected also, because like we said before the game, like the Heat had a whole lot more to play for. They had more to prove. And, you know, though Kobe seemed to not like what went down that day, if you saw his press conference, but I really think the Lakers just really didn't care as much as the other team did, but that's no excuse. They got the ass whooped. PJ, what you think about it?
Yeah, that's what, I mean, I just think they didn't care. I think they're right now, the Lakers are just playing bad basketball, like Kel said. They just don't look real good right now. So they do have that philosophy or belief within them that they can turn it on when it's time to. So we'll see if it happens. But to me, they just look like they're just playing bad ball right now.
Yo, but what bothers me is they look disinterested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
B. Austin.
Yep.
I'm going to make this a 30-second open letter to my man Kobe Bryant. Stop doing that. Yo, Kobe has this thing where he'll pick games just to prove a point. Like, yo, I'm so much better than y'all, I ain't even going to play today, yo. I'm going to see what my teammates do. I hate it. Stop doing it. Yo, yo, poop on that young boy at every chance you get.
Well,
you got too many haters.
He owned the series between them as far as games won. But I think it's always like that. It's like he has more to prove, so he comes out and does what he has
to
do.
That's like his personal championship, yo.
Yo, but I'm like, yo, Kobe, I understand how he goes at playing against his dad, but Kobe's pop, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, wouldn't have done that, man. Yo, kill that
dude.
He's giving the haters an opportunity to say things that are really egregious, but then they can point to the fact that
I'm gonna shut up. He does that.
But I feel exactly what Brad's getting ready to say because
I'm a Lakers fan,
but when I think about like in terms of all time greats, I don't think he can even crack the top five because when you look at guys even like Mike, as much as I talk about Mike, Magic, and Bird. Those dudes don't let that happen, man. These dudes play with a whole different passion for. They hated losing a whole nother level.
Dev, if LeBron started getting up on Mike would have just shot him. Mike would have just shot. It wouldn't have never happened.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
so anyway, but go ahead, Dev. What else you want to talk
the
about?
Next joint. Of course, we know about the postponement in Philly on Sunday. So we had our first Tuesday night football game since 1946. It didn't go too well for the home team, but what's your opinions on the game being postponed in the first place? I ask Jimmy and PJ first, since y'all were actually up in Philly and you saw what the weather had to offer. So, Jimmy, what do you think? Should it have been postponed or what?
I mean, I'm not going to go as far as our governor went, you know, calling people wussies and talking about calculus and so on and so forth. But I was, like, shocked because they canceled the game at, like, 11 o'clock. It was no snow at the time. I thought they could have waited a little bit longer. And I understand the logistics of having to cancel a game, but I watched baseball games get canceled when the damn stadium is filled. So I didn't think it was necessary to cancel at that time because if they would have waited to even like, you know, 1-2 o'clock when most of the snow would have came, they would have known that it wasn't coming. The snow just didn't show up the way they thought it would. And if they would have waited a little bit longer, they could have known that. And it shouldn't have been canceled. And I don't care what anybody says. Watching the game, it affected the team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they looked like they was.
So, PJ, you think they should have canceled it?
Nah, man, I think they. I don't think they should have. This is football. Like Jimmy said, and like the governor on his way out said. I mean, this is football, man. And like we didn't get the snow that we were going to get. But if you think about like in other cities, since NFL made this decision, in other cities that are more prone to a whole lot of snow, especially in the months of December and January, like will they do the same thing for these? Like,
yeah.
area.
So
you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean,
you think
of Minnesota.
Set a dangerous precedent?
I think they did, because now you got people that can always look and be like, well, you canceled the game or you postponed the game in Philly for like 6 to 8 inches of snow that didn't even fall yet. Like, so, you know, you just open yourself up. And I just think that's what the outcome of this is going to be. Not to mention that, like Jimmy said, I think everybody on the Eagles was on their off day, because that's typically an off day for them. So I think they thought that they were still off. So,
well, you know,
I didn't like
when it. I was following the situation, what I got out of it, I mean, I don't think they should have canceled it either, but what I got out of it, because everybody keeps just saying snow, and we know they get snow in Foxborough all the time, and they're always playing games in the snow. But the mayor, he, said it was a state of emergency, not just because of the snow, but for the blizzard-like conditions, which are like 40 to 50-mile wind gusts. Now, we've seen the Patriots play in the snow plenty, but they've never played in the snow that I've seen where it was 40 to 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. So I'm thinking, you know, that was more their thinking, plus the mayor, you know, had a lot to do with the call. But, Akil, what you think about it?
I think they should have played it. I mean, like you said, like I think one of the guys, I forgot his name, on the Vikings, he said, well, if this was the Midwest, you know, we would have had the game no matter what. You know, maybe it wouldn't have been.
Okay, meanwhile, they play in a dome. Meanwhile, they play in a dome, FOH, dude.
Yeah, I think that was shit, though. I guess you were talking about Green Bay and when they go to Green Bay or when they go to Chicago and all those places.
B. Austin, should they have canceled it?
Is Ed Rendell a Democrat?
I believe.
Yeah.
He is.
Yo, I'm 110% a supporter of Ed Rendell, so much so that we should offer him an honorary spot on the War Room, man. Stop.
He didn't have to say his comments about the Chinese, though.
Yo, matter of fact, I wanted to touch on that.
And they were doing
Facebook. My Facebook and Google account was hacked from an IP address in China, so I'm winning.
All right, I got one more for y'all. Jimmy's boy, old Purple Hands, Brett Favre, was fined $50,000 by the NFL for his lack of cooperation in the investigation of him sending his junk through text. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Jimmy what he thinks of that. your man wasn't cooperating.
Yo, of course he's not. Yo, Brett Favre, a.k.a. Purple Hands, is a diva. This dude gets away with doing anything he wants to, and the league allows it. And it's funny how this happens now when the season's damn near over. You know, if they were still in contention, I question whether this would have ever happened. I mean, but the reason they're not in contention is because he threw picks and led him into oblivion, the bum. But I'm going to leave it alone and let somebody else touch on it.
Be awesome.
Yo.
You all right over there?
Yo. What's the point of finding the bull 50 grand? At the end
probably
of the season,
have to pay it. Probably gonna pay it for him.
You know what? Yo, Percy Harvin is like his son. He gonna make Percy pay it.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm wondering why the NFL waited so long. Well, I mean, I know why they waited so long.
You know why?
It's like in week 10 or week 9, but you know, it's hypocritical for Goodell to go out and say, "Oh yeah, week 17, yeah, we're gonna come out with
this."
This
while he was a New York Jet.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I got a quick question, Dev. They were stuck in Philadelphia from like Saturday to like Wednesday or something. So I wonder how many young ladies got text messages from old Purple Hands when he had nothing to do with sitting in the hotel room.
Yeah, he was probably bored sending out junk.
All the stands at the Four Seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't understand it. It's crazy. I guess if Jen Sturger was trying to get him to cooperate, he would have cooperated with her, but he didn't cooperate with the NFL. So, I mean, it's crazy. I don't know. It's just, I don't understand it. So that's all I can say. It's just strange to me.
All right, and the last thing, I just want to congratulate Elias Orozco and his team, the Boys, as in the Cowboys. Yeah, we had a Cowboy winner. Fantasy Football League. He's the champion of the Gridiron Gentlemen's Club Fantasy Football League, which is brought to you by War Room Sports and Philly Auto Design. He won that grand prize, and he gets his name on that Gil West Memorial Trophy. So we just wanted to say congratulations to Elias. All right, and that's what happened while y'all were on the grind.
Yo, y'all ready to pass that rock?
Pass that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, okay. For people listening for the first time, Pass the Rock is a weekly segment where the starting five, all five of us, get to vent on our chosen sports issue or report their favorite headline of the week and just, you know, talk about it. So with that being said, I'm going to start it off by inbounding the ball and passing the rock to Dr. Akil Bayon.
Yes, all right. I received the pass from James Williams. Now, today, War Room family, my beef is with all these teammates fighting each other harder than they are fighting their opponents. A couple weeks ago, Texans linebacker Brian Cushing and defensive end Antonio Smith fought on the field towards the end of the first half, resulting in a 15-yard penalty that gave the Tennessee Titans enough yards to kick and make a field goal heading into the half. And, by the way, the Texans lost that game 31-17. Then, last week, you have two basketball players from Mississippi State University fight each other in the stands in between basketball games at the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii. Now, fellas, you're in Hawaii chilling, playing college basketball. What are you fighting for? Now,
we'll get some
Bernardo Sidney and Elgin Bailey threw punches at each other and had to be restrained by Honolulu police. FYI, Sidney was a McDonald's All-American who had to sit out all of last season awaiting clearance from the NCAA. So I'm wondering how his career is going to turn out with this on his record. Then, less than a week ago, there was allegedly a fight outside of a club between Wizards post players Andre Blotch and JaVale McGee. Now, the team and the players deny that a fight took place, but, you know, a lot of times you know what they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, the Texans are 5-10. The Mississippi State Bulldogs are 8-6. And mind you, this is a major university, and they're 8-6, and it's not like, and they've had some cupcakes, and they haven't even started SEC conference play. So they'll probably wind up finishing at the bottom of their conference. And the Washington Wizards are currently 7-21. Now, I think that if these athletes put more time into fighting the other team on the court or on the field instead of each other, then maybe their teams will play better. And with that, I'm going to throw a no-look left-hand behind a back pass to Dev.
Got that. That is really interesting, Kill, because my PTR is about the exact same thing. So this shows our audience that we don't talk about this stuff before we go on the air. So it might be a little repetitive, but I'm going to just go ahead and do it anyway. So, as y'all might have, you know, if you listen, you know that my co-host and I have been in an uproar lately about how sports have gotten soft, with everyone wanting to be friends, helping each other up off the court or field, speaking in interviews as if they'd rather date the opposition than beat the opposition, autograph solicitation of your opponents, and a whole host of other eyebrow-raising, girly man behavior. However, even though rivals are now treated as best friends, there's been a recent rash of teammate-on-teammate violence, as Akil said, with three incidents occurring in a five-day span from December 19th to the 23rd. The first occurred on Sunday, December 19th, during the Titans-Texans game when Texans defenders Brian Cushing and Antonio Smith got into a face mask pulling, shoving match on a play where another Texans defender sacked Kerry Collins. What in the roid rage could have happened that made them come to blows on a successful play for their defense? On Thursday, December 23rd, in the second bout of our fight card, two Mississippi State basketball teammates, Renardo Sidney and Elgin Bailey, broke out into an all-out MMA death match in the stands of the Diamond Head Classic in Honolulu, apparently because one of them wouldn't move his leg. Mind you, these idiots were roommates on this particular trip. In our third bout of the week, also on Thursday night, Washington Wizards big men Andre Blatch and JaVale McGee exchanged blows at a Washington, D.C. nightclub. And then, of course, we have Floyd Mayweather, who'd rather beat up ex-girlfriends, security guards, and anyone else not named Manny Pacquiao, whom he can earn up to $50 million to beat up. I just felt the need to throw Floyd in there. The teammate dynamic is a funny thing sometimes. I can attest to this fact due to my vast experience in team environments. So much time is spent around the guys that certain relationships can be likened to sibling relationships. And what inevitably happens when you're constantly around your siblings, fisticuffs often break out. However, when did it ever become cool to pummel your brother in public, especially when you're not constantly having public verbal intercourse with the people you're supposed to hate? Teammates must learn to keep their beefs in-house and recognize how stupid they look fighting each other in public and at times even on national TV. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock going down the left side of the court to my man B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Excellent, excellent points, man. Gentlemen, I really enjoyed it. Why is Pretty Girl Swirl ducking the Pac-Man? Anyway, ladies, gentlemen, lowlifes, fans, lemmings, Stanleys and zombies, I'm going to tell you. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you who your all-star game starters should be as of today in the NBA. Number one, my man in Boston, Rajon Rondo, should start at the point. Number two, Manu Ginobili. And no, I'm not saying he should start over Kobe, but hey, he can play the small forward. I say number three should be Pau Gasol. Tim Duncan will probably get the nod because it's a popularity contest. I know. Chris Paul should definitely be a starter. Kevin Durant must start. Must start. I'm going to surprise you here. Paul Millsap. Did you see what he did to the Heat? That alone should get him a starting spot. Russell Westbrook should, yes, Russell should be a starter. Deron Williams, who is the people's lightweight, the people's heavyweight light-skinned champion of the world. Jimmy, what you call him, the Mulatto King? Another surprise.
Yeah, he's a Mulatto heavyweight champion, yo.
Kevin Love. I dare y'all to say Kevin Love shouldn't start. Lastly, Yao Ming. Let him start, man. He ain't going to start no other game. I'm nice. I'm out of here. PJ, take that.
Thanks, B. Yo, that's an interesting lineup, because I can't say that I can argue with you on that, but definitely interesting nonetheless. All right, y'all. Tonight, I want to speak about the reincarnation of Izell Jenkins, also known as Toast, to Eagles fans over the age of, say, 27. I never thought that I'd see another Eagles cornerback welcome the kind of egregious abuse that Toast Jenkins became famous for, as he'd continuously relinquish huge passing plays to opposing receivers, shamelessly being burnt play after play. Just thinking about that bum incites a strange craving for scrambled eggs, Ed Hip's turkey bacon, and some butter. But I digress. In a short period of time, Dimitri Stir-Fry Patterson has cooked himself into the realm of 10th degree burnage, reached only by the likes of his predecessor, the aforementioned Mr. Toast Jenkins. Stir-Fry Patterson has showcased sloppy footwork, bad angles, deplorable judgment, and just plain stupid decision-making, like giving a 10-yard cushion to a receiver standing at your team's 1-yard line, and he routinely gets burnt like an albino without sunblock. So, Eagles fans, as you watch the Eagles games, you start to feel a strange craving for shrimp fried rice, sushi, or Kung Pao chicken. It's not your stomach playing tricks on you. It's the daunting presence of Dimitri Stir-Fry Patterson resonating through your television screen. Don't fight it. Face it. You're witnessing history. We haven't seen anything like this in about 20 years. But if all else fails, arm yourself with a pair of chopsticks and watch Dimitri Patterson get ferociously stir-fried. Bon appetit. And with that, pass an no-look pass to my man Jimmy, cutting to the cut.
Oh, God. Yo. Because I'm not even going to comment. I'm crying, yo. Yo, you an idiot, man. Yo. Yo. Why the boy didn't say that? Anyway, yo. Oh, man. Anyway, let me get myself together. What's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. the Black Larry Bird. And I'm going to do my PTR real quick. The theme of this show was a look at the 2010 year in sports. Later, we will talk about some of the major stories that happened this year. But I want to briefly say something about a couple of things that bothered me in sports in 2010. May not have bothered you, but it personally bothered me. First, I want to talk about just how bad the San Francisco 49ers were. Now, I'm not a Niners fan, but I did pick them as my sleeper team, and they have yet to wake up. I also had a couple of Niners on my fantasy team, and those mutts cost me some paper,
So I want to tell anyone associated with the Niners that they are losers, and I hope they continue to lose for years to come. How can you not compete playing in a division that will possibly have a team with a losing record represent them in the playoffs? That team embarrassed not only me, but their families, the city of San Francisco, and the entire West Coast. Now, something else I want to talk about in reference to 2010, and that is the fact that I came to the realization that winning a championship excuses mediocrity and downright deplorable behavior. This was evident in the playoffs when Ryan Howard was trash truck juice, but he got a pass. As a matter of fact, I think he's still standing at the plate waiting for something to happen before he takes a swing at the ball. Then Brett Favre, a.k.a. Purple Hands, not only threw pick after pick, but was his usual selfish self when he continued to play, although he was hurt and he was costing his team. Then he got caught sending pictures of his man region to a young lady, and still the media showed him nothing but love. Also, Ben Roethlisberger, a.k.a. Don't Say Nothing, Just Give It Here, got away with more of his shenanigans. Now, the thing is, they all have won championships, and therefore people don't scrutinize them the way they do other players. With that being said, it made me wonder, if Mike Vick is able to win a championship in the near future, would a perception of him change? This past year, I also realized that I can get just as much of my sports news from TMZ as I could ESPN. And what that made me realize is that not only are all athletes crazy, but so are us as sports fans, because we go to look for this kind of nonsense. So with that being said, I guess my homie PJ was right. It must be something in the chicken. I'm nice. And with that, I dug the ball.
And the Crizzled goes with that. Be awesome. You want to let everybody know how to get in contact with us?
Why, of course, good brother. War Room World, I want you to check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses can also be accessed from the page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Shout out to the Zuckerbergs. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. And subscribe to become a fan of ours on YouTube at our YouTube channel, which is War Room Sports TV. Don't forget the TV, folks. warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, you can email us all at info@warroomsports.com. Join the chat room right now as the show goes on at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign up through Facebook or your Twitter accounts. Follow us, friend us, favorite us, make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows, and get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, make sure that you check ours out on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe also to our iTunes podcast. Yeah, we get down with Steve Jobs too. So you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, the chat room, and several other social media outlets every week during the show. To dial in and speak to the hosts, reach us at 323-410-0012. We're live in our Beverly Hills studio. Now, when you dial in, press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows? One of the War Room professors just might call on you. Holla at us.
Holla.
Hey, what's going on in the chat room, fellas?
We got a lot of talk in the chat room. People talking about how bad Dimitri Patterson is, how they got a hit out on him. And how he looks like the Case, the R&B singer. But, yo, PJ, man, you crazy, man. You got everybody tripping, man.
Or did he came
yo,
said,
I apologize to y'all because I couldn't get it out.
He said the Mississippi State Bulls is probably fighting over some money or some woman regions.
Most of the time when you see men fight, it's over some Uchiwali or some money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook,
fight or shoot. Yeah, on Facebook, you got
on Facebook, Leslie wish us Happy New Year's, and we have people saying Tiger Woods showed he's a normal guy this year, and the racist, that's by Rob Williams, and David Stubbs said the racist city of Philadelphia is eating crow about Mike Vick, and that's priceless.
Yeah, and you got John Carroll who said the Ohio State University, I guess that's something he wants us to talk about in our big stories of the year. And yeah, we're gonna get to some of that stuff with our college shenanigans.
As a matter of fact, let's you know, start talking about the year as we saw it. And again, if anybody wants to call in and talk about any sports story from this past year, it's 323-410-0012 and press 1. But real quick, I know it's a story happened a little while ago, but I just want to bring it up, and that was the Winter Olympics and how it revived the interest in hockey. Now, I'll go around and see if anybody got any thoughts on that. I'll start with you, Mr. Austin, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. What do you think about the Winter Olympics and hockey?
I must admit I'm not as well-versed in the sport as I probably could be and should be, but I will say that Sid the Kid, the Canadian Bandit, is scoring at a rate not seen since Wayne Gretzky laid the skates and the stick down. No Skittles. Far as the Olympics is concerned, I think this was the anniversary of the Russian situation where they beat us in like 78.
No, where we beat them. Miracle on Ice.
We beat them.
The
miracle on
Ice. They were supposed to beat us down. Yeah.
And they were supposed
to take
that. Kill it,
we
yeah.
pumped them, yo. But yo, Dev, what you got to say about this?
Yeah, I think, speaking for myself, of course, and the few people that I know that it did that for, I think the Winter Olympics did revive some interest in hockey. I don't know how long it lasted or how long it's going to last, but I know I was hyped and I was in front of the TV. I think it's easier when you have a rooting interest in these international games, you know, because every time the U.S. team came on, I was in front of the TV. And, you know, hockey is an exciting game to me, especially live, but... You know, it revived my interest, that and the fact that the Philadelphia Flyers went to the Stanley Cup Finals and choked like a dog, but I was interested. The Winter Olympics.
Yo, I'm going to get to PJ and Kill real quick. I just want to say that it did revive a little interest, but I'm going to keep it funky. Watching that 24/7 on HBO made hockey exciting. And also, Dev showed me this documentary. What's that documentary you showed me? The Broad Street Bullies, John?
The Broad Street Bullies, yeah.
Yo, between watching that and watching 24/7, I actually became a hockey fan. And anybody can tell you, I never liked hockey. Yo, 24/7 is the truth. That joint will make you like a checkers tournament, yo. That joint will get you to anything. But PJ, what you got on the Olympics and, you know, hockey?
Yeah, I think the fact that hockey, even in this country, is international in terms of the players and where they're from. So I think when the Olympics start, a lot of times you have the professionals in the Olympics. It increases, like Dev said, the rooting interest. So it's going to – some people like I'm a type of person that I don't know that much about hockey nor soccer, but when I have a rooting interest, be it, you know, somebody that's local, somebody I can identify with or a team I can identify with because it, you know, represents – either Philly or America, I have a rooting interest and I'll watch. And I think that's what happened with hockey. I don't know how, you know, if that's going to have an effect going forward, but I think it helps that it's an international. The players are international, and it's an international sport.
I got you. Yo, when you get a chance, watch that 24/7, yo. That joint will make you get into hockey, yo.
I know. I peaked it, but I never watched the full episode.
Some Broad Street Bullies that beat people up.
Yo, Willie, yo, Dan showed me that documentary, yo. I wanted to put some Timberlands on and stomp somebody, yo. Dr. Bayard.
Yeah, it was interesting about hockey. I mean, it is an exciting sport. I've never been to a hockey game, but I do get more into it when the Flyers are doing well. But this is the thing. It's going to be hard for it to catch on because – To play pickup hockey, like, you know how much equipment you need. You got to find a rink with ice. I mean, it's not like a soccer ball or a football or a basketball. So I think it's just going to be hard for it to get that much interest. Like, I know somebody, like, true story, that whose son plays hockey in Dallas, but they live, like, 3 hours away from Dallas, 2.5 hours. So the father commutes his son, like, 3 days a week to Dallas so they can. That's like the only rink of competitive hockey they can find. And I was like, man, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they don't put any hockey rinks in the hood. You know what I'm saying? We don't grow up with silver spoons, Mrs. Hawkins.
You know what's funny? Prior to going away to college and going to school, shout out to the great HU Bison in the house. But prior to that, I thought the exact same thing. But as Dev alluded to, in your Midwestern, Northern Great Lakes states, yo, it's brothers hockey. And that can be on the ice or that can be street hockey in the streets. Yeah. Detroit, Chicago, Gary, Indiana, yo, they play hockey out there.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah,
heavy.
It's hard to get brothers in hockey because we don't take to that cold weather like that. We don't take to that ice that way.
Yo, let me ask y'all a question. Can any of y'all ice skate, yo?
I only did it once. I did it twice in my life. I could do it real slow.
No, I can't, cause
yo,
I can't. I can barely skate, and I ain't tried to skate in like 20 years, so.
I can skate a little bit. I ain't no Brian Boitano, but, you know.
Impressive, boss.
Yeah, it really is. No rainbow. Yo, real quick, though, let's talk about some other stories of the year. The Saints winning the Super Bowl. I know that, you know, we up to another season that's almost over, but this past year the Saints did win the Super Bowl. And tell me your guys' thoughts on that, and let's go back around the room again. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Bayon.
Yeah, I think it was great for the city, obviously, after Hurricane Katrina. I think it's great for the fans. I remember the days of them wearing paper bags over their heads, calling them the Aints. And it was just all around, you know, great story, even with Drew Brees coming back from his shoulder injury he had when they signed him from San Diego. So, I mean, it was an overall great story.
Who that there trying to beat them Saints?
Who that?
Yo, PJ, what's your thoughts on the ball?
Yeah, like Kill said, I mean, I think it was a great story. I'd have loved to have seen the Eagles in the bowl. But since they didn't make it, I was kind of like, on the low rooting for them a little bit. Obviously, it wasn't going to change the city too much, but it just gave them a little bit of fan excitement to, you know, help take their minds off the situation, even if it's just temporarily, maybe take their minds off the situation at hand. So I think that was good for the city and the town and just that team. Now I'm rooting against them, but you know, it was good to see. Like I said, I don't really root for any other teams outside of the Eagles, but I actually was rooting for them once they got in the playoffs and the Eagles were eliminated.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, talking to younger cats, and I tell them about how my entire life the Saints were horrible, and they think I'm lying because they know the newer Saints. You know, the Saints that have been, even though they just won, they still have been competitive. And I was telling them that as a kid, they used to wear, like, you know, brown paper bags over their heads at the Saints game. So for me to see them win was like crazy because the actual Saints, I equate that to seeing the Clippers one day win the championship. Like, this franchise is a bunch of losers. Anyway, Dev, what you got on the Saints?
Oh, this conversation is a little nostalgic for me because we talked about this very thing on our first ever episode back on September 9th. But the fellas pretty much summed it up, so I don't have much to say. I'm going to just play a little
something. We gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We stop waiting. We finish strong. Yes, from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Hey, that's a list I was telling you about the other day. That list I was telling you about, that bar fight list, dudes I get into a bar fight for.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis, Brian Dawkins, I think I add Drew Brees to that, man. Because if we do that chant before we go into the bar, I'd knock somebody out for the ball.
Yo, what about Lennox and Lennox from Belly? Yo, real quick, though,
I'm going to keep it brief, but funky. There are certain teams that you never expect to win anything. You wonder, as you move through life as a sporting fan, why do they exist? The Clippers, the Nets, I think the Rangers in baseball. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, throw a couple other baseball squads in there. But the Saints were definitely on that list. Like, even the great Saints players, like I was a Joe Horn fan, a Ricky Jackson fan. It was like you felt sorry for them because you're like, yo, what's the point of this team?
Why are they here? This is a scrimmage. We come into town to scrimmage the Saints. And so it feels good, especially with the situation that went down with Katrina, to see that city have some small redeeming thing happening and go on, even if it's not the center issue. So I feel good for him, man. I mean,
no doubt.
F them when it comes to my Eagles, but.
No doubt. Yo, also, you know, let's get on to another story from last year. If you guys remember back to this one, back in March, Butler, and they're running the tournament.
That's
and they actually almost got it done against Duke. You know, that was a big story as well, 2010. Let's go around the room again. I'll start with you, Dr. Bayon. What do you think about Butler and their tremendous run?
Man, that was amazing just to see a mid-major just get that far. I mean, actually go to the title game and be in it with a chance to win. I mean, shout out to their coach, Brad Stevens, who left the corporate world and then just, you know, started out as an assistant and became head coach. And he's only he was 33 then, so he might be 34 now. And, you know, he didn't have to be an assistant for like 12 years before he got the top job. And they almost did it. So, yeah, it was a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely was. Dad, what you want to say about that?
No, I said because it was Butler. It wasn't a big school. But when it comes to, like, the NCAA tournament, I'm always rooting for the underdog. So that story, you know, while it was great, man, I just wish he would have hit that shot, man. I would have loved to have seen them win that championship. I mean, and I'm not even one of those people. You know, it's a lot of Duke haters out there. I could care less that it was Duke that actually won it. But I just wish Duke would have hit the shot. What's the cat's name again? Because he's actually getting minutes.
Hayward.
Pacers, I believe.
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah,
Hayward.
Pacers, right?
No, the Jazz, I think.
The Jazz. Jazz.
Oh, okay.
He played for Utah.
Yeah, he fit right in there. He getting some minutes for them. I mean,
what's that whole
money?
Jazz, Pacers, same thing. He fit in with them. It don't mean nothing.
Yo, anyway, PJ, you have something to say about that?
Yeah, I just think that whole run by Butler epitomizes what's so great about the NCAA tournament, the basketball NCAA tournament, because it gives the mid-majors a chance to knock off, you know, Goliath. And
right.
I, like Dev said, yo, I was hoping. Like, I'm not a Duke hater, but I don't really like him that much. And if he would have hit that shot, that would have just been great. Like everything that is built into that story, from the coach used to have a 9-to-5, and, you know what I'm saying, a young guy, a team that came out of the kind of nowhere on the national spectrum, and just to be able to, you know, win that game, that would have been great. And like I said, that's what I love so much about the tournament, because you got teams like, you know, Philadelphia University and Beaver College that go up against Duke and have a chance to, like, you know, do good things. So
yeah, no doubt. And real briefly, I just want to say that it's kind of funny, because that's the thing about, like, what pisses you off about college football and then not having any sort of playoff or tournament type system, because these guys start to get confidence, and they go through the tournament. And, you know, you could tell the difference in their play from the first game to they got to the championship. They actually thought they could win, and that was the biggest difference in their team. You know what I mean? Anyway, let's get to another story. This is, like, the biggest story of the year, actually, and I just want to get you guys' take on it. We talked a little bit earlier about Eldrick, a.k.a. Tiger Woods, a.k.a. I love fellatios, but he had a fall this year, not only professionally but personally. And B. Austin already said, in his opinion, he'll never come back to, you know, or go back to what he was. And I just want to get you guys' opinion. Do you think that he'll ever, you know, get back to where he was? And also, you know, isn't it crazy how the thought of Tiger Woods now has just changed? When you hear the name Tiger Woods, you think something totally different. I'll start with you, Dev. What's your thoughts on Eldrick?
I won't say that, you know, he won't get back to where he was. You know, I don't think I even know enough about golf and what it takes to get back, you know, to the level that he was playing on. But I'm pretty sure at any point, you know, he could just snap it back on and be what he was. But right now he's not really doing it. Since he's been back from his little shenanigans, you know, he hasn't been having too good of a time on the course. But, you know, I'm rooting for him. I hope he does what he does. But it was crazy to see his fall. Especially like that, because remember,
you know, this time last year, you know, they had the little dust up on Thanksgiving that started it all, and then it just started spiraling out of control from then. Like, different smuts were coming out talking about, I did Tiger. Tiger smash.
Yo, you know what I found funny about it? How come the protectionist didn't jump to his defense as they do other people? Now, why do you think that is?
Because he was, it was a Caucasus mountain chick.
Black.
Yeah.
He was with the Caucasus.
He came out
at the same time, he had said a long time ago that he wasn't black, so.
Yeah, he said he was everything else, Pekingese and all that, but he wasn't black. And the thing about with Tiger is, I think Tiger just proved that the dominant, basically he just proved that the dominant, he has testosterone, so he's just a guy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, in other words, my thing is if you look. Yeah, but I mean, if you look at, you know, I don't want to say this and be ignorant, but I would venture to say that 75% of star pro athletes have cheated on their wives. And I mean, I'm not a star athlete. I don't know any personally, but I would venture to say that based on what we've heard from seeing the likes of Jordan,
get
Shaq,
in high school,
you know what I'm saying? So, Tiger got caught all up in it, man, and it just spiraled out of control. And like Dad said, all the smuts and the shaky butts was having him on the VIP list and said he was in it with this, that, and the third. So it spun out of control. Just lastly, real quick, because golf, right, you can be like, since he started so young at golf, and you got golfers that be like 68 and still in their prime, I think that he has a chance because he has another, like, 30 years left to play, essentially, barring any, like, you know, diseases or anything, God forbid. But, you know, he got, like, 30 more years. So, like, he can go through a five-year slump and do some push-ups and get right.
I don't know if you were talking about these kind of diseases, but a lot of them chicks, from their accounts, Tiger don't believe in using condoms, so...
When the chicks were interviewed, Tiger wasn't giving none of them dough. Yo, Tiger wasn't giving none of these chicks dough.
Yeah, they said he was stingy. He was pimping. He was doing it the way.
Yo,
right,
he was just going around barebacking everybody without getting any dough. Anyway.
Why would you bareback, though? That's what I don't get. All right, let me
see. Bareback mountain.
And his
rash, though.
Hold up, B. Austin. Dr. Bayon, what are your thoughts on Eldrick Tiger Woods?
Man, I think the whole thing, it obviously wasn't surprising, but the fact that all his dirt was, you know, was let out into the open, that was a surprising part. And he obviously didn't handle it well. It seemed like guys like MJ, Barkley, whoever else, you know, they handled their women pretty well and still stayed at the top of their games. But Tiger, once everything hit the fan, you know, it was straight downhill.
Yo, but I don't know if any of them were putting in work like Tiger. Tiger had chicks all over the country, yo.
He had chicks all over the place.
You get lonely on them tournaments, cuz. You get lonely.
Yeah. Some of those international
chicks on
tournaments.
Yo, Tiger wasn't a player. He just crushed a lot, yo. B. Austin.
He's out there banging Scandinavian chicks.
I'm gonna touch on one of your people. In talking about Paul, Tiger. Yo, the hoop earring dude is behind the scenes in all of this, and it came out a little bit, but it went back under the bed. Tiger was hanging out with Mike heavy.
Mm.
And Mike got him into gambling because Tiger's one of the only athletes in the world that can really keep up. You know, he can
gambling
lose
on
the
what?
Athlete.
Is life going bareback?
That too.
Mike
and,
introduced him to white girl.
They both love the same thing in terms of type of women or whatever. So, you know, Mike really got him into a lot of that.
That's word
around the street. Now, the reason that I said I don't think he'll regain his form, and he definitely will return to being the number one golfer in the world. I don't question that. But that sense of invincibility. People used to come to the golf course to play in these tournaments understanding that second place was a win for them because dude just had it locked up.
Austin, his opponents know that all they got to do is show up to the tournament with a bad white chick. And it's not hurt his attention.
So what? And with that being known and understood, Brother Devin, exactly. So they know what his kryptonite is, and that air of invincibility is gone. I can only go back to what I know, which is basketball. Mike had it. Kobe has it to a lesser degree. Zeke had it. Larry Legend had it. Cats are scared to face this dude, and they are no longer scared. Even in the media, they're talking greasy to him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They'd never open their mouth.
I mean, but like PJ said, he got like 45 years to get it together.
Yeah, the divorce settlement was crazy, but he's still
a rich guy. Yeah, that was crazy. That was one of the biggest stories of the year. But, I mean, it's just amazing now. Because in the beginning of the show, his birthday just passed. So we sit here and talk about, like, when you hear the word Tiger Woods, what comes to mind. And that's crazy to me when you think about this. If we had talked about this last year, it would have been nothing but, like, you know, positive things, like dominance and the greatest in the sport
you know
and blah, blah, blah.
That speaks to the sport. His brand and image was attached to affluency and family. That's how they marketed this dude. You know, nice, neat, packaged family. You know, and so for him to fall apart, it's almost a foregone conclusion that football players, basketball players, even soccer players on the world scene are, you know, they're not players, but they crush a lot, as you said. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Versus a golfer, you don't really think about it. And beyond that, golf as a whole, looking at him specifically and the way he's marketed, because face it, he is golf, it's so foreign and unexpected that it just blew the lid. Mark Cuban said LeBron lost to Billy. What did Tiger lose in terms of his brand?
Yeah, you're right about that. In our chat room, the Mrs. Wright, shout out to Roby, says that she thinks that 99% of professional athletes cheat. She said 90% of broke dudes on the street cheat. So the thing is, don't get married and have fun. And
I resent that. I resent that remark.
I said 75. I was trying to be modest because I ain't want to sound like no hater. I said 75, but she might know better than I do.
Yo, also in the chat room, Porgy the King says Tiger should have just watched Big Love and it's made them all get along.
Word. Exactly. It's expensive. Outside of that, it's expensive to cheat, too. Like, you remember Kobe, when he said Shaq was paying chicks like $1 million to keep their mouth shut after he came and put it in. Like, he was, like, paying them like $1 million.
Yo,
that's crazy.
Yo,
I put it in.
The Shaq. Shaq is also disrespectful, yo, because Shaq was disrespecting chicks, yo.
Even Gilbert
disrespecting Gilbert Arenas. Yeah, he was disrespecting Gilbert.
I heard on the street I heard on the street Gilbert's finally leaving that chick, and I heard she's pregnant again.
It's about time.
But that's just what I heard.
She got, like,
three kids, though.
She's
pregnant by John Wall.
TNZ haven't confirmed it yet, so I'm not sure.
Let's move on from this topic, because there's one more topic I want to personally talk about, and that's in baseball and how it was the year of the pitcher. Runs are actually down 5%. You had like 6 no-hitters, and the Giants win the World Series with dominant pitching. I personally think it's because they got all the juice out of the game. Now the pitchers are dominating, but I want to get you guys' opinion. PJ, I'll start off with you. What do you think about baseball and pitchers dominating?
I mean, it kind of started off early, if you think about it, like with the guy down with the Nationals, Strasburg, who started out with 14 strikeouts in his debut. Now, granted, he was supposed to be that dude, but it's just like you said. Honestly, I think it might be the steroids out of the hitters ain't on steroids like they used to be. I mean, I don't know what to speak of it. Maybe it's something cyclical. Maybe it's going to change in another 10 years or so. But right now, the pitchers got some new stuff. They got some new stuff that can, you know, speak to their hormones better.
Yeah, I heard that. Dr. Bayon, what you got on pitching dominating baseball now?
Yo, it's definitely the steroids being taken out the game, because now what once were fly balls deep to left field or right field or center field, I mean, they're fly balls now, but they were home runs when everybody was juicing. So now, you know, the ball doesn't have the trajectory after it hits the bat, so pitchers are able to pitch more no-hitters and get more outs. Because obviously, you know, if you're a Major League Baseball outfielder, you know, those are outs, you know, unless obviously you're going to have an error. So,
yeah,
there you go.
True that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have two things to say real quick before I go to Devin Brad, and that's I was watching ESPN, and I think it was Doug Glanville who said this. He said that he doesn't think that it's the juice coming out of the game. He said because there were just as many pitchers who got caught juicing as they were hitters, so it was all relative. He just thinks that it's just one of those things that every 10 years or so it switches from being dominant pitching to dominant hitting. Portia King in our chat room, he made a statement. He said that he thinks that it's because baseball players no longer want to hit. They all swing for home runs. And there's only a few that love to try to get actual hits, like Ichiro. So
Ichiro,
it's also part of the game where players are just swinging and misses every time up.
I.e., swing bada-bada at Ryan Howard.
Hey, bada-bada-bada-bada. Anyway, real quick, so, B. Austin, let me get your opinion on the juice in baseball.
Who? What was the boy in the chat room that just made that comment?
Porgy the King.
Porgy the King, shout out to you because I totally agree. I think that sports at large is suffering from a lot of the same things across the board. We're captives of the moment. We like to see a big play. We celebrate the big play, and that forces players to concentrate on those aspects of the game rather than the fundamentals. You know, Ichiro doesn't get a lot of acclaim, but he's one of the better players in the league. So I think that combined with the juice coming out of the game, you know, is changing. You know, it's changing, and it is cyclical. Maybe the hitters will come back, you know, but I agree with him. I agree with Boy.
Deb, before I get you, Deb, I just want to say that Roby in the chat room, she said that pitching is definitely dominating because Ryan Howard couldn't hit a basketball if they pitched it to him in the playoffs.
that's because Ryan Howard just got paid. Nobody hits anymore after they get paid.
Yeah, they got that dough. But wait, what's your opinion on baseball and the pitching becoming dominant?
Well, real quick, speaking of that, that's why I always advocate against in-season contract negotiations. But that's another story for another day. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. But I just wanted to give some of the pitchers some props because we had 6 no-hitters this year, and that's, you know, even without Galarraga, who got robbed out of a perfect game, and we'll talk about him a little later. But you had Roy Halladay, who threw a perfect game in Florida, and then again in May, in the postseason, in his first start, he threw another no-hitter. He had Ubaldo Jimenez, Dallas Braden, Edwin Jackson, and Matt Garza, who all threw no-hitters this year. It has to have something to do with steroids, but like I think Hill said earlier, or somebody said, pitchers and hitters were on the juice. That may have been Jimmy. But I don't know. I think when you say that, I think some of the pitchers that were on the juice might have been guys who would be lower-level pitchers any other time. So it kept them competitive and kept them in the game. You know, and then you had people like Pettit and the Rocket. It made them, like, unbelievable pitchers. But it has to have something to do with it, but I don't know. That plus the fact that, like Brad said, everybody's going for the big play. Chicks dig the long ball. So,
I just put that in the chat room. Yo, as soon as, right before you said it, I did that. Yo, remember that commercial, Chicks dig the long ball.
Let me ask y'all a question since y'all are the baseball connoisseurs. Is it more difficult to develop yourself to be able to hit a major league pitcher or throw a major league pitch? Which is more difficult?
To throw or I would say to hit because I think when you're trying to hit, whether it's a ball or a chicks, I know. When you're trying to hit, though, ball I think it involves and this is just me. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's is different. I'm just saying from the years when I played baseball as a young boy, I think it involved a little bit more hand-eye coordination to hit a moving object than to throw at an object. In other words, like when the ball is coming at you, you know, obviously it could come back. When I played, it was all like straight fastballs. But now when you think about curveballs, sliders, breaking pitches, That's tricky, especially when they come in like 95, 99 miles an hour at you. But go ahead, Dale.
I was about to say the same thing. Like, the question is kind of broad because, you know, if dudes are just throwing straight fastballs, it's not hard for them to locate their pitches and get them right over the mound. But dudes these days have so much stuff, and they throw all kinds of amazing pitches, which are really difficult to get into the strike zone. So, I don't know. That's a hard question to answer for me. But
I personally agree with PJ. I think it's tougher to hit a pitch because, you know, like he said, the ball is coming towards you and you're target. You're sitting still. So, and just like that, it's a combination with both of them. You got them curveballs and them sliders and all kinds of nonsense and the Kevin Gross kind of pitches where they use sandpaper and all that kind of nonsense. You know what I mean? Like
them Brad Lynch breaking balls.
Hey, Jimmy, not to cut you off, but I was going to say, I know the pitches were juicing, but I think that might have been just more for recovery or maybe allowed them to go longer in innings. But I don't necessarily think it affected in terms of, I don't think it was as equal to the hitting. Because at the end of the day, okay, instead of a pitcher throwing, let's say, 95 for three innings, now he's throwing 95 for five innings. But once that bat makes contact with the baseball, it's still going to go far. So I don't know if the pitcher's juicing had as much effect on the game. It probably just gave them more jeevity.
I agree with you. I was just saying with a lot of the baseball players I watched on ESPN, that's what they said. They said that it's just a cycle that goes on. If you study the history of the game, you'll notice a cycle like every 10 years or so. And they were all,
that's,
you know, they made
guessing
the excuse that pitchers were like, you know, juicing just as well.
I was guessing that it might be cyclical, like real estate, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just changes.
But real quick, though, PJ, before we move on to some more stories, tell everybody how to get in touch with us.
Yes, sir. Y'all can check us out on our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the guests personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. You can subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports. Join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, you just need to sign up for a free profile with Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite blog talk radio shows and to get updates and reminders about our show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours by hitting the blog tab on our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so that you can listen to our show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with one of the hosts, just dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is basically like raising your hand, and who knows, the War Room professors just might call on you. So anything going on in the chat room? It looks like the chat room has some information. It's still talking a little bit about, you know, hitting a ball versus throwing a ball. So just kind of reiterating some of the points that we've already made. Anything on Facebook or Twitter?
No.
No, I was just going to say, you know, people just talking about Delonte West freestyle rap and LeBron James, and LeBron James a happy birthday.
All right, well, we can.
You know what's funny, y'all, about Delonte and Kill? I know you remember this cat. When he was a young boy in high school, he used to play at run and shoot. I played with him a number of times, and dude could have been a double of Silent Bob. I mean, he was silent as a I don't remember him saying more than three words in like 4 years.
You're right, yo.
Where
right after
his personality come from?
Yeah, right after they had their great run with St. Joe's, I ran into him at run and shoot, and I was like, yo, man, congratulations on your run, this, that, and other, da-da-da-da. He was like, thank you.
That's because he got some of that Gloria juice. That's what it is. And now he got a little personality.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's, I'll jump back into these topics. This one will be a quick one. First of all, because of the Blackhawks and the Chicago Blackhawks ended the longest title drought in the NHL. The last time they won a title was 1961. I personally don't need to spend a lot of time on this because they ended their drought on the Philadelphia Flyers, and that's corny. So anybody want to weigh in on this? PJ, you good?
Yo,
I want to tell any Blackhawks listen they can kiss my – yo, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep moving.
I ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
Well, MJ was rocking the Blackhawks jersey, and I was rooting for the Flyers, obviously. I mean, I think the Flyers, I think, had a much better story than the Blackhawks, actually, from the coach getting fired and, you know, the other coach taking over, them being at the bottom of the basement and then being down, in the playoffs, like insurmountable mm-hmm. deficits. And them making it all the way to Game 7, I mean, I think their story was greater than the Blackhawks.
All right, cool.
Peter Laviolette.
We're going to move on to the excitement that the World Cup gave us in South Africa. And I know B. Austin was a follower of the World Cup. So what did you think about that whole thing, Austin?
Man,
besides boo-boo-zellas.
I've ignored soccer for so long in my life to finally find that it's an exciting sport, kind of like baseball was for me. You know, finding out that baseball was such a cerebral sport, I was just, you know, it was a joy, man. It really was a joy to watch. First of all, we got to send a shout out to Spain because they won the World Cup. So definitely congrats and kudos to them. The action, I think this year, the media coverage focused on not only educating people on the sport, but following the storylines within the games. You know, they did an excellent job of that. So I definitely appreciated that as somebody that's not, you know, the most astute soccer fan. They give out the Golden Ball Award for the best player. This year that was won by Diego Forlan, of Uruguay. The Golden Boot Award is also given out. That's the top goal scorer.
The Bastion Janico.
same area. Thomas Müller of Germany.
Errol.
He won the Golden Boot and scored the most goals.
Errol.
And then the Golden Glove is the top goalie. That was Sergio Goyeche of Argentina. So, you know, that's
my thing. Go ahead, Brett. I didn't mean to cut you. I was just going to say I'm a very casual soccer fan. And I, looking at the World Cup, it was interesting, like Brad said. And I ain't going to hold you. It was talking to Brad during around that time that even made me entertain looking at it more and giving it a chance because Brad was like, yo, you should check it out. You know, obviously we know our main sports, but, you know, soccer ain't all that bad. And I just find myself, I root for America, and then I root for African countries versus, like, the Spanish and European and all that. So I just go, if America lose, I'm going for an African country.
Yeah, he just said he was a casual fan. I was a straight-up bandwagon fan. Like, the World Cup was on, it was a big deal. We had a sports show coming up, so I needed to be well-versed on anything. So I jumped on the bandwagon. But what made it easier, like we said earlier with the hockey from the Winter Olympics, is that you had a rooting interest. So when the U.S. team played, you know, you can get more into the game because you're rooting. But I can't lie to y'all at all. When I tried to watch two other teams play where the U.S. wasn't involved, it was whack.
I gotta agree with you because we didn't grow up on it. So even for me, I was rooting for the U.S. Then I was rooting for Ghana. But when I tried to watch some of the other countries, I was like, oh man, this is not what it's cracked up to be. But it was exciting, and it's funny to see the maturation of the sport here in the U.S., and I think that within the next generation, it's going to rival baseball, football,
and baseball, football, and basketball. And it, and that stems back to what Kid was saying about hockey. It's a sport with a low barrier of entry. It doesn't cost anything to get a ball. And also with the Hispanic population and international
immigrant
population growing, the immigrants growing in the country, they're bringing it with them. They're bringing it with them. So I think it's poison.
And they double back.
Yo,
they're also talking about
cutting
and
grass and
balls. They're also talking about cutting it from 4 years down to 2 or 3 years. So the World Cup may be in the next 20 years, every 2 to 3 years instead of every 4.
Yo, I just want to say one quick thing. I mean, I didn't weigh in on this. I mean, because honestly, I'll be perfectly honest, I didn't care. And, yo, it was hard for me to get into any sport that don't got timeouts, yo. How y'all going to go like 90 minutes straight with no timeout? Come on, man.
That's that cardio. Yo. Them jokers got mean cardio games.
Yo, they cardio game right there, yo. I ain't going to fret.
Hey, Ben,
I need timeouts
before we move on. Did you watch it, Ben? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched bits and pieces of the World Cup, and you know, I was rooting for Ghana, I was rooting for the U.S., and you know, other than that, that was about it. I saw the octopus that was like picking games somehow. The octopus was like,
wake up.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, there. I'm gonna keep it 100, yo. I was rooting for the joint to be over because it was taking up too much damn TV time. So you can go, you can move on.
I'm gonna go to Jimmy on this one first. We don't even have to spend much time on this because we talk about this every week. But of course, during the year 2010, the Lakers won their second straight title, which was the 5th for Kobe and 11th for Phil. We all know that, you know, Phil's is more impressive because he has 11. So Jimmy, what did you think about Phil winning his 11th?
Yo, I think Phil is the truth. Phil Jackson, aka Yoda, because. Yo, my man don't even get hype, yo. Phil Jackson is that dude, yo. Tall Yoda, yo. Yo, matter of fact, where's Phil Jackson get his suits made at with them weird looking shoulders, no rainbow? But anyway, yo, I just think it's impressive because I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. Like, if I was a basketball player and I won a championship, I would never win one again because I would probably be okay with winning one, and I would talk so much trash after winning one ring, and I probably would OD and be off the league. So for somebody to win that many championships and actually care, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
He got
Bayon.
That dog in him, like Trotter would say.
No, Bayon, real quick, because like I said, we talk about this a lot. So.
Like Jimmy said, it's really impressive for Phil to do that with literally win his 11th with like 4 different teams. I mean, 2 different teams, but 4 different teams within those teams. You know what I'm saying?
Right. DJ.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, it was monumental for the legacy of Kobe and Phil, and you know, they continue to build on that. So,
HBC,
so like that.
You know, I'll admit that our show has given me another perspective on Phil because I always used to just say, how hard is it to coach extreme talent? You know, how hard is it to coach the greatest in the world? Which you know, he always seems to have the benefit of. But to be honest, meshing all of that talent and meshing all of those personalities does take a particular skill. So I definitely have to give him his due and give him his respect and props.
All right, cool. Staying on the basketball tip, we can go right back to Austin on this. After your boy Raymond, a.k.a. LeBron James, quit on his team, if there's a lot of people who will take up for him and say he didn't, but he visibly quit on his team in the playoffs. And, you know, after that we had the off season, and it was the off season that had a bunch of free agents. It was a great year for teams trying to pick up a new superstar. We had the hour-long special, The Decision. How was that handled, B. Austin? How do you think The Decision went down?
Raymond is a corny bull, and there's no negotiation or conversation with Lanes, Lemmings, or Stanleys. So if you disagree, you're a lame, a Lemming, or a Stanley. Why would you get on the air and hog up an hour of our time to say, I'm taking my talents, because he was nervous. He was nervous purpose. I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Come on, man. That was real.
Taking Big Steve with me.
Yeah, I think because a lot of people, when they talk about this, they say, well, I didn't have a problem with him going to Miami. I had a problem with the way he did it with the decision. Well, I'm different. I had a problem with the decision, period, the way he did it. I got a problem with him playing in Miami right now. I think it's a punk move. And like we talked about at the time, I don't think Magic, Michael, or any of those cats back in the day would have thrown up their hands because they couldn't get past a certain round in the playoffs and say, all right, I'm going to play with Chuck Barkley or I'm going to play with Magic in L.A. Like, I don't think those dudes would have done that. And a lot of people, their argument to that is, well, Magic played with Kareem and this and that. That team was put together by the draft and trades and things like that. None of those players exercised their free agent rights to go make the game easier on themselves. I just think it was a punk move because Cleveland, they won the most games in the regular seasons for 2 years straight. We got a lot of footage of those dudes dancing and disrespecting the other team when they were on top, but then everybody want to mope and act like punks when the chips are down and when the stuff hit the fan. It was a punk move. So, Bam, what you think about that?
Yo, my sentiments exactly. Like, I've been arguing with people and saying, look, they won 66 games, 61 games. That's not a bad team. I mean, as a matter of fact, they were a favorite to win the last 2 years by some quote-unquote analyst. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, my team is garbage and I can't win a championship here in my hometown, so I'm going to go ride Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh coattails. Yeah, I think the whole thing was whack and the way he did it was whack. Like, honest, personally, if I'm LeBron, I'm staying in Cleveland. I'm going to see the dude, Eden Ravine, who's the Hoops Whisperer. I'm getting up with Hakeem Olajuwon, learning stuff from him. I'm talking to Reggie Miller, and I'm working on my game so I can be that complete player and win the championship in Cleveland. But he didn't want to do that.
Man, I'm going to see the Wizard.
What you think about
it? Yo,
y'all said it because, I mean, Cleveland wasn't bad. I mean, he went to the finals with that squad. I mean, it's not like he was playing. I mean, I want to say I could see if he was playing with a team like, that was like 10-72. But come on, this team was a competitive team that was atop the Eastern Conference. And you decided to leave them to go with another team to be with better talent. I mean, it just doesn't sit right with me. And I think the whole decision show, that was deplorable. Like, straight up. Like, I can't believe that my man had an hour-long show to say that. And I think what he did was really just rub it in the face of the Cleveland fans, man. I mean, if you're going to go, that's still a punk move, but you don't have to have a show to say that you're going to go. Don't do that, folks.
Let me weigh in on this topic because I think differently than y'all. I mean, I don't have a problem with him leaving because at the end of the day, that's his right. And he may not want to be that guy. What I mean by that is he may not want to be mad. He may want to be a role player. He may not want to be that guy. So if that's the case and you want to go be, somebody's second fiddle, that's your choice. That's his choice. I was pissed at the way he did it, like PJ just said, with that whole decision thing. But at the end of the day, I don't think that he'll see a chip either. And I also don't think he's going to ever see his hairline again. So
you notice he's sporting a headband real hard now.
He better sport a headband. His hair, his hairline is horrible. He got an LL Cool J looking hairline.
Yo, when his headband gets knocked off, how upset he gets?
Yeah, that's why him and Ryan Arkell was about to brawl. It had nothing to do with the headlock. He was mad because his hairline was showing.
he said he's gonna get a headband stitched into his hairline, so it's just part of his face all the time.
All right, so that's the decision. Let's get a little bit into this college football foolery. We got a lot of stories in college. We got Reggie Bush giving back the Heisman. We got Cam Newton getting paid. We got we got the recent story with Ohio State. We got just the BCS in general. So, Jimmy, would you want to weigh on one of these topics, man? Just take one. Everybody take a topic and just weigh in on it.
Yo, you talk about the whole college football thing? I just think it's hilarious that, the hypocrisy with the NCAA. And it's a joke how these players from Ohio State get penalized for selling what they believe to be their stuff. and my man Cam Newton was on a payroll, and you know, he didn't get anything done to him. I guess if the Ohio State player, like I said before, they should have got their family to sell it, because I don't even, I'm not even clear on what the rules are at this point. I think it's just a joke. The NCAA this year, with so many different stupid decisions, like you just mentioned, has made themselves look like a complete joke. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the bottom line with all these stories. They look stupid. Like, what are the rules? They make them up as they go along, and that's the problem right there.
Yeah, PJ, weigh on one of these.
Yeah, man, I just – it's the epitome of hypocrisy with college football, man. It's just crazy. I can't – I don't even know. Where do you start? I just think that they're the biggest hypocrites in the world, and I think we should definitely investigate their history to see what ties they have with the Ku Klux Klan. Because I think it's Klan members that run the NCAA. That's all I got.
Well, you know, we had the whole Reggie Bush situation where he got in trouble for the money that he took during his time at USC. They retroactively took his Heisman back from him, which a lot of people had a problem with. Kill, did you have a problem with them taking his Heisman?
Yo, honestly, no. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because we all know he won the Heisman, but the NCAA has been hypocritical. And my thing with the Reggie Bush thing is, it's like, come on, fam. You took, like, let's say maybe $100,000, your parents got a nice crib, and you're not going to sign with the dude? Like, that's just stupid.
Yeah, he tried to play the dude out. That's why it all hit the fan. B. Austin, Cameron Newton and his pop.
I'm going to get to Cam and his pop, but I want to know what was harder for Reggie Bush, giving that Heisman back or seeing his joint, Miss Kardashian, with Miles Austin.
Probably that.
I think that hurt him bad.
He looked like a wet noodle, so it's probably the Miles Austin thing.
Do y'all think that Cam Newton is going to take a pay cut and go to the pros?
Yeah, of course.
Why not?
I think
don't risk getting that leg broken.
I think that Cam, I really respected the way that he handled himself throughout that, and I like the fact that he dictated to the media what he would and wouldn't address and what he would and wouldn't talk about, because to me it showed that he was cognizant of the fact that, just as we say on the show, it's really a joke and it's really a game. And so, you know, I think that his dad really is guilty of being greedy and kind of not playing the game properly, just going a little bit
man,
too hard.
His pop was doing what everybody else was doing. I mean,
that's what I was just about to say. Everybody else gets paid, so why not? And as far as Cam, I think Cam is a lot better passer than people realize. He's going to be better than Michael Vick at that stage in his career. Coming into the league as a passer.
I don't see it. I think he's going to be one of them dudes.
I think he's going to get no chance?
Nah, not as a passer. I mean, unless
he's
going to
be a Vince Young type of ball.
Unless
he's
going to
be like Jamar Chase.
Yeah, I got him being another one of them dudes.
Can be having a computer shooting, man.
I'm not saying I'm not rooting for him. So, you know, I'd like to see him get there, but until I'm proven otherwise, I see him being another one of them dudes.
He's going to
be another Andre Ware.
Warren Moon needs to start his own camp.
So speaking of, this is another thing that we rap about every week, but the rebirth of Michael Vick. You know, he's a top two candidate for MVP right now, and, you know, a couple years ago at this time, he was, like PJ said last week, he was he was doing push-ups in Leavenworth. So what you saying, B. Austin? You don't got him at the top
that game,
no more?
With that game on Tuesday night, he out of that. That's Tomas's.
That's where I beg to differ. Even prior to the game, I don't think it was close anyway.
No, I agree.
I don't think that game helped or hurt his chances. Tom Brady is having a crazy season. But,
right.
You know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that from all the
I think
black
it was. I mean, I think stuff. It I definitely think. I definitely think it was Brady's all along. I think it was a little closer than you think, just because I think you could make a case for Vic if you will just address the games that he played full games in, which is difficult because he had four or less than Brady. But looking at his numbers, they weren't comparative to Brady, but they weren't that far off. If you consider it to be what, you know, what he did in 9 games that he played the full game in, and at the time was 8-1, versus what Brady did in his 14 games. But I think that it's still Brady. I still would have picked Brady. I just think that if you wanted to make a case of Vic, you could probably, but I just don't see how you couldn't give it to Brady for what he's doing with painters and cement pavers. So that's my little spiel. Sorry, Brad, I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, go ahead, y'all.
No, that's fine. I feel with you. I feel you. I agree with you. And another thing that I found funny is the first 6 games, he had, like, no picks and, like, 9 touchdowns. The last 6 games, I think he's had 9 touchdowns, 6 picks, and 3 fumbles.
It's called
so
film.
He's fallen. He's gotten back.
Yeah, I'm happy for him, especially because he's the quarterback of my favorite team, and he's playing as well as he's playing. But America has the tendency to overhype certain things, and I think that's one of them. If you got a problem with that, call me 323-410-0012. Now,
The boy is playing well, man. I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like, I don't think he's the MVP, but the story is good. So,
yeah,
you know, they're going to try to get that story out there. You know what I'm saying?
The story is great because he got dudes out there now from Fox News talking about he should be executed for killing dogs.
Hey, yo, by the way, we got a couple calls on the line, if you want to take them.
Oh, of course. let's start with Unknown. Unknown, you in the war room. Holla at us.
No, not that one. We got a 570.
We got my man Jay on the line.
Jay,
what's up in the war room?
What it is? What's good, guys?
Chilling. What's going
what's
on?
What's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay? What it look like?
Cool. You already know, man. Cool. You already know.
What you got?
Nah, not cripping here, baby. No cripping here. Listen. I was listening to y'all think about, you know, about LeBron, man. What I keep saying, man, that dude ain't doing nothing. And his decision wasn't based on the court. His decision was based because everybody was smashing his mama. If you want to play with a team, knowing your boy smashed out your mom, like real talk, you going to go with a cat that you know they ran triz on your moms. Is you really trying to see the dude that ran triz on your moms? So, you know, I understand why he left. And then, too, with him, I keep saying it. Ever since he came out, the dude got game. He held his own as a high schooler coming into the league better than Kobe did. But the cat, real talk, he like an overhyped version of Scottie Pippen, but Pippen had more game. Pippen had more game. He want to be number two. He want to be Robin. You know what I'm saying? I see him being Kick-Ass. From that movie Kick-Ass, that's who LeBron is. He's Kick-Ass. So, you know, real talk, bro. That's all about that boy. He ain't going to win a title. Y'all saw him one time in New Jersey. I took a team, I was coaching kids out here. I took him to see the Nets play Cavaliers. This dude gave up so many times on the court, and I'm wondering, then, do they televise this part of the game? This dude kept throwing his hands up, walking down court. He overrated, man. I really now think that LeBron is way too overrated, man, and he ain't going to do nothing in Miami but leave, or where he's going to leave. Before Miami ever won the championship, them three got him and Raptor, what's his name?
Bobby.
Number one from Toronto. Raptor,
Bobby.
Yeah, the Raptor dude. They go, for real, bro. They're not gonna win nothing, man. On that note, I'm leaving receding hairline man alone. On the football topic with Bush, man, I put it like this. Y'all right about that. You know, college football, NCAA in general, basketball, baseball, they the biggest ripoffs. They're bigger than insurance companies. They rip you off better than insurance companies do. Like, why shouldn't they get paid? Everybody else is getting paid. You feel me? You're giving them a free ride to an education. Let them get paid, too. They over there eating a couple noodles, going crazy. Why about getting paid off their jerseys and off of watching them play? Man, it ain't no good, man. Having to get paid, you feel me? Give him a car, give him a Volvo or something. Give him something to look up to, man. Play for
a Volvo.
Give him a Volvo.
You know, You know what I mean? No, forget it. Get them a Ford then. Get them a Ford Fusion. Get them, you know what I mean? Like, give
nah,
them
they can't fit in
no
Ford Fusion, dog. They can't fit in no Ford Fusion.
Yeah, we got to get Cam Newton a Ford Fusion, fam. Yo, Jay, man.
They got to get the Jugas Hummers, man. All right,
Jay. Thanks for your call, man.
Hummers. Jay,
no
Jay
dog,
you the man, Jay.
Yo, the
thanks,
homie Jay, yo.
Thanks for your call. Happy New Year.
Jay from Jersey,
Jay.
Baby.
Jay keep it 100.
Yo,
keep it 100.
Jay said get him a Ford Fusion.
Yo.
Hey, so moving on real quick. This could be a quick one because I'm pretty sure none of y'all watched any of this, but Jimmy Johnson won his fifth straight NASCAR Sprint Cup. I don't know much about the sport because I can't sit there for like 5 hours watching cars go around a circle, but I'm pretty sure that that's a great accomplishment in the world of NASCAR. If anybody watches NASCAR, you want to call in and talk about it, 323-410-0012. We don't really.
I'm not a fan. I'm not into it, like you say. You know, it's like, yo, you're watching cars go around in a circle. It seems repetitive, and it seems like an asinine idea. But I will admit this. I have started to get into it, and what I do is I gauge when they're going to be on their last 10 laps, and then I'll watch, like, the last 10 laps of the race. That's all
man,
I can
that's
do.
Flat. That's whack, yo. They ain't going in circles, fam. Tell Jimmy Johnson to call me. He can't see me on Broad Street. I'll dust his ass.
On Broad
yo,
Street,
I don't understand the affinity for the sport in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I don't understand why in the Midwest they love that stuff. So, I mean,
NASCAR is the second biggest sport in America.
Yeah.
I was going to say Jimmy Johnson. When I think of Jimmy Johnson, I think of my old Cowboys coach, and I think of defensive coordinator for the wrestling team.
Everybody but the driver.
Yeah, everybody
right,
but
so
the driver. Like, you know.
Let's move on then. What about the long-ass tennis match? Jimmy, you watched that, didn't you?
Man, yo. Them cats was playing for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Fam, it was 3 days, 11 hours and 5 minutes. 3 days, 11 hours and 5 minutes, cuz. A total match time. 70-68 was the score. How you
come on, man.
The same of a basketball score.
Yo, they said that the Bulls that played in that match haven't won a match since.
Well, one of them doesn't.
Yeah, that was the dude
in
there.
And you see,
yeah,
right.
The fact that I'm calling him the other dude. You know, he's nobody after that match. He's just in the Guinness World Record. You know, the dude that came.
Them dudes, look like they was about to die in that match, though. Right around on the last day, yo, when the Bull won it, he just fell out and just started doing the worm on the ground.
Yeah,
now,
how much bread did he
win? I got a question for y'all, truthfully. At any point in that match, would y'all just giving up?
It was Wimbledon.
Go ahead, Jim.
My fault.
I'm going to keep it funky. Just to be real quick, you damn right I would have.
She would have got your check and
because
just mailed it in.
I would have got my check, my Ford Fusion, and I would have bounced.
And I'm pretty sure that them dudes had something else to do on those days.
Well, yeah, I could dig it. It was the first round of Wimbledon, so I don't know. I guess maybe if you think about it. Say you trained for it. Or you were prepared for it for, like, the month before that. Like, yo, I'm going to be in Wimbledon. I'm going to do this, that, and the third. So you get into the match, and it takes a whole day. Then the second day is over. Your competitive juices might keep you going, cuz. I mean, I know it's dumb long, but think about it. It's a tournament. That's the first round. It would be hard to give up. You know what I mean?
Yo,
no, I guess not.
I ain't gonna
crickets in the background.
I ain't going to lie to you, brother. Whenever we talk about tennis, all I think about is one thing and one particular
person.
I
know who she is, too.
And that's all I think about. And that's the only reason tennis is relevant to me.
Brad is watching that match, thinking like, dang, what if this was Serena playing this match?
Yo, all I've been doing is looking for her in the stands. Yo, where's she at?
The whole time. All right.
Dev, let me say something about the match. I would have tried to rough it out. But then the crazy thing is, dude lost 6-0, 6-3, 6-2 in his next in the second round. So I know Simo
Dabaka.
Because
he was tired.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So Simo Dabaka, the guy who beat him, was probably, you know, hoping that it went longer and longer and longer so he could, like, crush them and crush one of those dudes. Pause.
Yep.
Yeah.
True. No, that's true, though. That right, joint bad team, he was done.
It was a good year for your man, Manny Pacquiao. He became the pound-for-pound best boxer in the world. He's the first boxer to hold public office, and he was the first to win titles in 8 different weight classes. When we talk about Pac-Man, I know what's going to come up. So, Jimmy, go ahead.
Florida
Yo,
bitch.
First off, Pac-Man did all that. Pac-Man is on that juice, yo. So, you know what I mean? He on that juice. And second of all, speaking of boxing in general, boxing has 64 weight classes. So when you say that you won in 8 different weight classes, like 3 of them is probably like 2 pounds apiece. So, I mean, that's overrated right there. But, I mean, in terms of him and Pretty Girl Swirl, as Brad likes to call him, everybody wants to see it happen. If it doesn't happen, I just don't blame Floyd. I blame both of them. Like, you screw both of them.
I don't blame both of them.
None of us know what really goes on. Floyd has his own story, too. But none of us really know what goes on. Everybody assumes Floyd is ducking him, and it may be the case. But screw both of them for not making a fight happen. If Floyd wants you to take, you know, 18,000 tests, you take those tests to get that bread.
He said he
would,
Jimmy.
He said he would, but he wouldn't do it within a certain amount of time because of,
and
you know,
I wouldn't
he,
either. Yo, did you know you ever drew blood and then tried to do something physical later on that day?
No, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is if they're both under the same thing, then it is what it is.
I'm not taking up a Floyd.
Screw Floyd too.
Screw both. I don't think it cancels it out though, PJ. It's like it's just not.
But I mean, no, if they both take the test,
drawing
though,
blood and then go rumbling the same day, like that's cool.
But he didn't say
no,
it was
right.
The day.
It wasn't the same day. It wasn't the same day. It was like 6 or 7 days prior. It was the same window that Shane Mosley took his in. I mean,
yeah,
what I'm saying is if they both take it, if they both remove the
Shane
did it. Like my thing is, if Pac wanted
it,
Pac really wanted the fight and wanted the money, he would do it. Shane really wanted the fight and wanted the money, so he
did
it. Now, granted, he shouldn't have to. And your pride as an athlete, you will say, I'm a star boxer, I'm pound for pound, and I'm speaking for Pac now. Why would I have to take a test when I'm the pound-for-pound best, some test that he came up with that has nothing to do with the regulations of boxing? And I can dig that because that's one you could definitely
yo,
rest on that. Like, yo,
Shane,
I'm not taking
sugar,
your test.
Sugar Shane is trying to keep.
And then Shane
Sugar
was
Shane
bad,
is
that,
trying
that,
to
that
keep,
fight, though. That might have been why.
Sugar Shane is trying to keep fancy boys relevant in the sport, so he doesn't even matter. He don't even
know. Listen, I completely agree with y'all. I'm just playing a devil's advocate, sort of like Jimmy is saying. Like, he could have taken the test. He could have taken the test if he wanted to take it.
Screw both of them. I'm not like everybody else who just blames Floyd because if he wanted to make the fight, Pac-Man could make the fight. Shane did. And I mean, Floyd is under
but
the same.
But if Floyd thought he was
that
great, why did he need him to take a test, though? Like, why you gotta take a test, Floyd? If you think you better than Pac, why you want him to take a test?
Yo,
that's
they both noodles, yo. That's my
they
point. They both
dumb. Like, either don't take it or don't. Yeah, but
you
that's,
think,
again, and that's what
you really
speak
think
to making.
That Pac-Man needs bread like Shane?
No. Pac-Man got more bread than Shane. But I mean, if
you're
going to give you $50 million, though, but you're not going to turn away 50-some-odd million, though. I mean, he ain't that. He's rich, but, I mean, I don't think he would shun at
I mean,
the
rich,
opportunity
he also,
to get rich.
He also look at where he lives, too. Like, he live in a jungle somewhere, so, I mean.
Trying, yeah.
Yo,
half that money going to the country.
Shane signed a contract and said, listen, pretty girl, which way do you want me to fall?
Shane will fight a bear right now if they put a bear in the
so
ring.
So, Brad,
Shane
would you ask Shane like
hey,
that?
Fool,
what's that saying?
You should have never.
You could have never paid him back.
What did you say, Jimmy?
I said, what you dissing Floyd for taking that fight with Shane, what about Pac-Man? That's his next opponent.
Who is there for him to fight? You say that for
Pac-Man, but you can't say that for Floyd.
Because Pac doesn't want that fight. Pac wants to fight the coward.
If he wants to fight
the coward.
If he wants to fight him at
bad, he could take the test. I think they both noodles, because if he wanted to fight him that bad, take the test. That's all I'm saying. So when you make an excuse for him, he has nobody else to fight, so he's fighting him. Who else is voice for him?
Yo,
to fight?
You protect,
don't
protecting,
test.
You protecting Bull, man. Yo, that dude's
yo,
a coward.
A, yo,
man.
I think they both knew that.
I see where Jimmy's coming from, just saying that that's the other argument.
If
like,
you
if you
wanted,
really
like,
want to make it a simple
fight,
then take the blood test.
Exactly.
Yeah,
if you really want to fight this
boy, it's
bull,
just corny,
fight
though. The whole idea is corny. First of all, I'm mad at Floyd for even conjuring up this test to have people that fight him take this test, because I think that that's just showing that he doesn't feel like he can beat these dudes naturally. It's bad
yo.
Enough that they're fighting at the damn same weight you fight at. Like,
DJ,
that's
here,
like,
yo,
like that right, Judah
so
said,
my,
you don't do that in the hood. You can't pick the weight of the guy
thing.
You want to fight.
Watch me erase Pac-Man being a noodle. If we took all of this out of the equation and we say, yo, Pac, go out in that parking lot and rumble that black boy. Yo. Pretty Girl Swirl would come up with an excuse not to rumble him in the parking lot. Pretty
oh, man,
Girl
he ain't getting paid for it.
Air.
You just don't like the boy. And the thing is, I think they both noodles. I'm not taking up for him because I think he's a noodle. But I think that Pac-Man just as much. I think it's funny
Jimmy.
How everybody just jumps and he's ducking him.
I
mean, Pac-Man ain't that nice. I don't like Pac-Man anyway. He got 5 losses. And what does Tom Bacon mean anyway?
I think Pretty Girl is the most talented boxer in the world right now. I admit that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Pac-Man's going to win that fight.
The dude, he'd actually beat the dude. I think he'll beat Pac-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the
but
song and dance for? He's waiting for the dude to fall off.
But my thing is,
yo,
if Pac-Man wants to fight him that bad, he would take the test. That's all I'm saying.
If they ever make this fight, I'm Filipino for the day, and I'm back in Manila like MacArthur.
Pac don't have really anything to gain by the chain fight.
Every time he agrees to the terms change.
Exactly.
Because
they're both scared.
Every time he agreed to the terms change.
Scared.
You said
I'll
put the test. Now you want to take the test.
From what I read, they were missing on one term, which was the fact of how soon he would take the test. That's what I read. None of us are privy to know what really happened.
I think what happened is Pac agreed to a test.
No fight. I ain't doing it.
Yeah, I think Pac agreed to the test, and then he got the terms, and then he was like, no, I ain't taking it this close to the fight. Like, he was like,
because
I'll take the test, but I'm not going to take it a week
Floyd
away from the
say,
fight.
I heard Floyd say that nobody's privy to what really goes on behind closed doors, so everybody has their opinion, but they don't even know what really happened. And I agree with that. None of us know what really happened. I mean, all
the
stuff we're talking about.
I think Floyd's saying that because Floyd looks like the coward in the situation. So, of course,
he knows he's a coward. So we got to do some damage control to ball back,
listen,
man.
Oh, so you're going to sit here and say you do
everything
in the contract.
Can beat this nigga.
I say I don't.
So you know
I don't
everything.
Not
you're
do.
Telling
I'm
me, you're telling me you disagree with him. All he said was we're not privy to anything behind closed doors. So now
you know
you're
what?
Telling me
you
are.
Know, Jimmy,
could,
I don't know. I don't know
we
what's
could,
going on. But to that comment, I say FOH, Floyd.
We
could,
we could make this argument about your man Purple Hands. We don't know what goes on in the locker room. We don't know what goes on with the protection schemes and how they break down. We don't see every
don't,
camera angle.
But we do see him throw picks every other pass, though.
Oh,
man. We
see Floyd stuck in this fight.
And
so
we see Floyd ducking.
How is he not ducking?
Never ducked this dude.
Daffy's tell Pac to take the damn test then. Why
he
ain't taking a test?
Yo, I'm not letting you sun me and continually sun me. Yo, we gonna change this. Yo, we gonna change that. Yo, we gonna change this.
Yo,
we gonna change that. Yo, I don't want to fight here.
Yo,
I want to fight under umbrella. Yo, I want to fight in the thong.
Hey,
yo,
juicing.
I want to fight in pink gloves. Yo, I'm
maybe
pretty.
He's really juicing. Maybe Pac-Man is juicing.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I was about to say.
He
could
possibly
be juicing
though. Florida beat him up anyway. So stop being scared and go beat
maybe
him
he
up.
Really is juicing. You haven't
noticed
how
Pac-Man juice.
Hey, I think Pac-Man has something to say to Sugar Shane.
Hey, fool, you ready for another beating? You should have never came.
Yo, be often. Did you notice how Pac-Man got better as his career went on? Because he was getting knocked around. Don't front like he ain't never been knocked down before.
Who
or even lost before.
Career
he got 5
back,
losses.
That's the point of life.
Hold on. What I'm saying is he hasn't lost since he got the Barry Bonds. Now that he got the Barry Bonds, he ain't losing no more.
What great fighter doesn't get better as his career going? Come on, man. Come on, fam.
What great fighter don't get better?
Roy Jones started getting knocked out when he.
Roy Jones
didn't start getting bad until he moved up in weight, though. Yeah, I don't think he was great, though, because I think his competition was us.
He moved up like 8 pounds in like 7 years.
I'm being devil's advocate. Pac-Man is a drug addict and a loser. Now,
I said
Pac-Man is a drug addict.
And a loser, right?
And now they do move up and weight a lot. Like the little guy, she moves up. Everybody moves.
Hey yo, I'm gonna take it back to them days. If he's a drug addict, when have you ever been scared of a crackhead? So Shane's scared of a crackhead. Let's go in there with it.
Floyd is tripping, but I think if Pac wanted it, if he really wanted it, he could take the test too. So I think the majority of the blame is on Floyd.
At the end of the day,
but you can't absolve all the blame from Pac because he could just take the
test.
I think if you wanted to fight, I feel you, Dad. That's a good argument. But I would say on my side, in my opinion, if he wanted to fight that bad, take the test. If you're that pound for pound and you're that good, take a blood test. I mean, it's a week.
I go in another direction. War Room World, and y'all can call me on it. I don't think that I can beat everybody. I'm not scared to get beat the heck up. I'm not scared to lose.
I can dig it. But, I mean, it's not your – but this also your career. This is also his career and his legacy. So he's trying to be –
I'm going to make one statement, and I'm done. I'm done with the whole topic. But let me make one statement, Dev. Let me make one statement, and I'm done with the whole thing. The bottom line is I will never root for Pac-Man because I'm a huge Rocky fan, and since Rocky, I never root for foreigners. And that's all I got to say.
Hey, Jimmy, I don't root for any of them. I just want to see the fight. I don't care.
Yo, I will never. Rocky told me I can't root for foreigners, yo. I'm a Rocky fan, yo. Since Rocky, I never root for a foreigner, yo. That's just the bottom line. Y'all can call me what y'all want to, yo.
Real quick, Rocky beat both of them too. We talked about Brett Favre and his fall from grace in the beginning of the show, so we can skip that. All we got left on the big topic of 2010 is the NFL concussions and the UConn's women's streak. We talked about the streak last week. It's impressive. I don't think anybody here, like, favorably compares it to the UCLA streak. If y'all want to add something to that, y'all can, but I don't really think we need to.
I'm being a bad guy again. I think if you really want to break it down, it can also be possibly better than the UCLA streak. And I'm going to leave it at that, and y'all can call me what y'all want to call me again, but I've done some research on it. The UCLA streak wasn't as impressive as it sounds when you start breaking down who they were playing, Little Sisters of the Poor. But anyway, that's either hand or
like Prairie View University.
Women can't play basketball better than men.
Women are more skilled than men. I think women are more skilled at basketball.
I agree. I agree.
They have to be because they're not as athletic. So
athletic, right. I do think they're more skilled.
They got better jump shots, better free throw percentages, and all that. But the NFL, we're gonna end on this one. NFL concussions. The league, is it soft?
This is Jimmy here. Last thing I say for the night, y'all already know how I feel. The NFL is soft and it's full of pansies. Y'all can go ahead.
BJ.
You on your one line if you're on the night.
It's softening up. It's getting softer because they're trying to protect everybody. So it's getting soft.
All right. Kill.
Yeah, I think the concussion work, that's cool to keep doing the concussion test. But in terms of the fines, I think that's getting soft. That's real soft.
Be awesome, real quick. 5 seconds.
You can't legislate against bigger, stronger, faster athletes. I mean, hits are going to happen. It's misguided.
Before Jimmy take us out on our last show of the year, we're going to just wish a happy new year to Avery Johnson. We got Avery here with us. So, Coach, we hope you have a better year in 2011. We hope the Nets get better.
Thank you. I'm trying to do the best I can do with this basketball team. It's a bunch of young guys, and they like to play basketball very hard, but it's not like when I had David Robinson and Tim Duncan. But thank you, guys. Happy New Year to y'all, too. Bye.
All right, Coach. All right,
Thanks,
Jim.
Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
No problem. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yo, y'all got me in tears, man.
We
like to thank everybody once again for joining us in the war room this evening. And everybody, since we started this whole thing in September, we hope you enjoyed the show up to this point.
We're working hard to make the show bigger and better for you in 2011 and beyond. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, same place, and we'll discuss the NFL Wild Card Week in part two of our series, the NBA History by Jersey Numbers. And as usual, we'll get you caught up on the biggest sports news of the week. Don't miss it because it'll be a good one. So have a safe and happy new year. And until next year and next week, everybody, we will holler.
Holler.
Hey, yo, pretty girl, Swell, you can holler at me. We can get that rumble on early.